Hello and welcome to episode 49 of Spooky Gals, the podcast where we explore all sorts of real-life paranormal and creepy occurrences, from ghost sightings and hauntings to reported alien and cryptid encounters, myths, folklore, legends and more. Every episode we cover a different true spooky story. We're your hosts. I'm Katrina.
And I'm Jasmine. Good afternoon, everybody.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello. How are you all doing?
I mean, they can't answer us,
no,
but
they can't.
I feel like they'll be saying, I feel like they'd say a resounding, we are brilliant.
Yeah. I'm very
maybe
glad.
Maybe just some manic screaming.
Yeah. We hope you're well.
We do indeed.
We are. How are we doing, Jasmine? How are you?
I'm fine. I'm quite exhausted because I just spent like, oh, one second. Now, I'm quite exhausted because I just spent like a week and a bit in London, which I used to live there for uni, but I feel like it's just taken a lot out of me now.
Aww.
You know, it's a heavy life there. I feel like my London friends, I love them to bits, but they still like to go out. Mm-hmm. A lot, and I've become a grandma. I'm like, but I need to be home by midnight or else I'll die, which I think is like a residual Hong Kong thing, because bars used to close at 6 p.m. So being outside
6
in the
p.m. what?
Yeah, because of COVID, so they'd close bars at 6 p.m. So we'd day drink, start at like 2 o'clock, then we'd be absolutely gone by 6 and just go home and sleep, order pizza. It was great.
That sounds great, yeah.
It was honestly, that was the way to do it. I kind of miss it sometimes, but I mean, it is nice to not be fined for breathing, which is really nice. It's a good perk.
Good.
Yes, I've just been applying for jobs and playing games and writing about the games and lather, rinse, repeat. Yeah, that's been my week. Nothing too special, really.
That sounds like a great week.
It was. It's Wednesday today. We're at that midpoint. Happy hump day, everybody.
Yeah.
Happy hump day. How about you, Katty? How have you been?
I've been fine. I finished 2 essays last week. So I'm trying to do as little as possible this week before I have to start doing my dissertation work.
There we go. Oh, dissertation time.
I know. Yikes. No, thank you. I've also... It took me quite a while to write this story because it's a long one.
How many pages?
Well, it's 3 full pages in size, like 10 font.
Front and back or just...
No, only one. I'm not a maniac. Only one side. but yeah, so because we've been away for a little while, because Jasmine was off gallivanting.
Yes, so much gallivant.
We've made this a little bit longer for you all.
Yay!
Which we hope you appreciate. And
I'm very excited. You've really... really talked this one up to me quite a lot. I know that it's going to be a very, very intense and
I'm so excited. Someone actually guessed what it was, literally just from what I said last episode, from the end of last episode.
What the fuck? Like, they messaged you about it?
Or? Yeah, they messaged and they were like, is it blah, blah, blah? And I was like, oh my God, how? And they were
you like, you bitch, don't tell Jasmine.
No, but then I also saw that... real life ghost stories have just done an episode on it, so I was gutted about that. I don't know how. We love real life ghost stories. They're really, really nice. We love you, Emma.
Yes, but still.
So I was like gutted. I was like, how? It's so weird. It's so like, it's such a strange story. Like, but yeah. But I'm still very excited to tell it. I didn't listen to that episode because I didn't want to be influenced in any way.
Oops. Smart.
I just knocked my microphone.
I think that's smart.
Yeah, I didn't want to be influenced. I wanted this to be...
organic.
Yes. I mean, like, this story is literally incredible. It's completely bonkers. If you read this on Reddit, you'd be like, that person writing that creepypasta, they've gone a bit too far. It's a bit far-fetched.
So it's a true story.
It's a true story, yes. It just sounds like a creepypasta.
Well, I love pasta.
Yes.
Creepy or not. So let's dig in past the fucking fork.
I want a tattoo of this creature.
And that's big from coming from Katty, because Katty doesn't have any tattoos yet.
I'm not actually going to get a tattoo of it, but...
You really
maybe
should.
One day.
They're so much fun. If I got a Spooky Girls tattoo, would you do it?
That's amazing. If we reached like a certain amount of
fame.
Yeah. Certain amount of.
I'm going to hold you to this.
Certain amount of patrons. Patrons. I was about to talk about Patreon because we would like to thank our newest patron, Michelle Phillips. Thank you so much, Michelle.
Thank you. Thank you.
We will be posting more to Patreon. Hopefully very, very soon. We will do proper episodes. We promise.
Again, just give us some time to get back into the swing of things, you know. But yeah, there should be some juicy stuff on there very, very soon.
Yes, and if we reach 1,000 patrons, I will get a Spooky Girls tattoo.
Please, everyone, subscribe right now. Do it for a week and then take it off. I don't care, but I need to get a Spooky Girls tattoo.
Please, no, it doesn't count if you've got to at least pay once, even if it's the $2. You've got to pay once. But considering the fact that we currently have 18 patrons, I don't think that we're going to get to 1,000 very soon. But we do need more patrons because we need to buy the Sims 4 Werewolf pack.
Yes, we do. Even though I did see that someone said that it looks a little bit like the Cats movie. So now
everyone says they look like fairies.
Yeah, so whenever I see a picture of the box, all I can think is fucking Jellicle cats.
So I initially read about this on, I think it's pronounced Obscurban. Obscurbanlegend.fandom.com because it's like obscure urban. Obscurbanlegend.fandom.com. But my main source for this episode, and a lot of it that I probably outright copied, was from an article from the January/February 1978 issue of the Journal of the British UFO Research Association.
Oh, fuck yeah, aliens.
Which is where this reported encounter originates from. And it also has an illustration of this creature on the cover of the issue. And so I will put that on our Instagram. And then my other sources were CuriousArchive.com and MysteriousUniverse.org. So the creature that I will be talking about today, whom I adore, is Sam the Sundown Clown.
The what? Sam the Sundown Clown?
Sundown. Sandown.
It just says Sam the Sandman, Sam the Sandwich, Sam the Sandwich Man. Okay, I got it.
So what does he look like to you, Jasmine?
He looks really ugly. He looks like... So he looks a little bit like Squid Game dudes because he has like different symbols on his face. He's got like the division symbol and then the equal symbol and then triangles and then weird little antenna out of his head. It does look like something my friend would have drawn on acid or in the middle of a deep psychotic episode. And there's one of him singing with two kids screaming next to him. And I really hope that you touch upon that because I really hope that Sam the Sandown Clown did karaoke for some village children and that they did not like it. Because I think that's what happened. But please tell me what really happened.
He does basically look like a weird alien robot type clown thing.
With a microphone.
Yes, he has a microphone. I will tell you all about the microphone.
And apparently not karaoke, which is very, very sad.
So, this story is about a very strange being called Sam, which was supposedly encountered by two young children in May 1973, while they were on holiday with their families in the picturesque, peaceful seaside town of Sundown, located on the southeastern coast of the Isle of Wight in the UK. One of these children, a 7-year-old girl, given the alias Faye by the writer of the British UFO Research Association article, was near Lake Common in Sundown one afternoon, playing with another boy around the same age, when they both heard a weird, siren-like wailing noise close by. The curious children followed the noise across a golf course, through a hedge, and into a swampy meadow close to the little used Sundown Airport, whereupon the wailing abruptly stopped. As they walked over a small wooden footbridge crossing a narrow brook, a blue gloved hand suddenly shot up from beneath the bridge, and a strange figure emerged.
I'm getting Pennywise feelings.
The figure fumbled around with some sort of book, which it then dropped in the water and splashed around trying to retrieve.
What a klutz.
Once it had done so, it climbed out of the water and retreated to a nearby windowless metallic hut, moving along in a strange hopping motion with its knees raised high.
You mean a bit like the goose step? Was it just a Nazi in a mask?
No, Jasmine. The apparently not that bothered children started walking away from the area, but then the figure, which is now referred to as he in the article, reappeared from the metallic hut carrying a black microphone with a white flex attached. The siren-like wailing noise began again, and this time it was so loud that the boy whom Faye was with got scared and started to run away. The noise immediately stopped, and the strange figure spoke into the microphone to ask, "Hello, are you still there?" And although he was quite far away, both children reported that they heard his voice as if he was standing right next to them. The two children ventured over to the figure so that they could be close enough to speak to him, because evidently they had no self-preservation instincts whatsoever.
Fucking kids.
And it was then that they were able to properly see what he looked like for the first time. So, the description in this article is as follows. He was nearly 7 feet tall and had no neck, for his head appeared to be wedged straight onto his shoulders. He wore a yellow, pointed hat, which interlocked with the red collar of a green tunic. A round, black knob was affixed to the top of his hat, and wooden antennae were attached to either side. The face had triangular markings for eyes, a brown square of a nose, and motionless yellow lips.
So his lips didn't move when he spoke?
Mm-mm. Other round markings were on his paper-white cheeks, and a fringe of red hair fell onto his forehead. Wooden slats protruded from his sleeves and from below his white trousers. His clothes were also badly damaged and ripped, and he appeared to only have 3 large fingers on each hand and 3 large toes on each foot.
Ew!
The figure took out a notebook and, in large letters, started frantically writing down seemingly random words. He then showed this to the children and pointed to different words, which Faye read aloud. "Hello, and I am all colours, Sam."
Sam's kind of cool so far. I think he's kind of interesting. He's not doing anything wrong. He's just trying to have a little chat. I'm thinking it's the inspiration for Pinocchio, or I'm still thinking Nazi.
I think Pinocchio is a lot older than this, but...
But you don't, maybe he just came back.
Sam began to speak without the aid of the microphone, but his mouth remained closed, making the voice sound quite quiet and difficult to understand. He asked the children questions about themselves, and they in turn asked him why his clothes were so badly ripped, and he told them that they were the only ones he had. Because of his bizarre appearance, they then asked if he was really a man, causing Sam to chuckle and say, "No." The children then asked if he was a ghost, and Sam replied, "Well, not really, but I am in an odd sort of way." When they further questioned him as to what he was, Sam didn't offer any further explanation, simply saying, "You know." He did then go on to tell the children that he didn't actually have a name. I assume he just chose Sam for himself, and that there were a few others like him, and he even took out his notebook to draw a quick sketch of one of these other beings. He also confided in the children that he was frightened of people and scared that they might hurt him, and he was so averse to violence that even if he was attacked, he wouldn't fight back.
Oh, I like Sam. dear boy.
Sam then invited the children inside his hut, and again, because they didn't know anything about stranger danger, they followed him, having to crawl through a flap in the side to enter. Once inside, they saw that the hut was split into two levels. The upper floor was cramped and bare, while the lower was more spacious, with plenty of headroom, and its walls were decorated with blue-green paper covered in a pattern of dials. It was also sparsely furnished, with an electric heater and a few pieces of simple, rustic wooden furniture. Sam told the children that he ate berries that he collected in the late afternoon. He didn't say from where, but he indicated that he had a camp on the mainland that he travelled to. He also said that he was able to drink the river water once he'd cleaned it. Inside the hut, Sam removed his yellow pointed hat to reveal two round, white ears and sparse locks of brown hair. He picked up a berry, but before eating it, he performed a strange trick. He placed the berry in one of his ears and thrust his head forward, causing the berry to disappear and then reappear at one of his eyes.
Ah!
Then, repeating the process, the berry travelled to his mouth. The children stayed in Sam's hut and spoke to him for half an hour or more, and then, deciding it was time to leave, they said goodbye. They raced back across the golf course and told the first man they met that they'd seen a ghost, but he merely laughed at their claim. The children were convinced of their experience, but Faye didn't tell her father about the encounter until 3 weeks later. Her father, given the alias Mr. Y in the article, didn't quite believe her at first, thinking that the story was far too outlandish to be true, and he tried to explain Sam away as being either a figure of her imagination, a shared hallucination between her and her friend, or simply a creepy person dressed up to scare children. However, he soon changed his mind after seeing how upset Faye became when he suggested that she'd made it up, and he also felt that some details, particularly the one about Sam having only three fingers and toes on each hand and foot, were too specific for her to convincingly fake. Mr. Y was further convinced that his daughter was telling the truth when he saw the friend who she'd been with during the encounter, and the boy verified that he had indeed seen the exact same thing as Faye. Mr. Y even visited the spot where Sam's metal hut was supposed to be for himself, but unfortunately he didn't find it, nor any indication that a structure had been on the land. Mr. Y was probably more inclined to believe his daughter's bizarre story, due to the fact that he himself had had his own strange encounters with potentially paranormal or otherworldly entities.
Ooh.
3 years earlier, in October 1970, at around 7 p.m. one night, Mr. Y had been driving from Shanklin to Ryde via Seaview to visit a friend. As he was travelling towards St. Helens, he suddenly noticed an enormous multi-lit aircraft flying low to his right, about halfway between the road and the marshland of Bembridge Downs. He stopped the car to get a better look and watched as the object seemed to hover aimlessly over the swampy banks of the River Yar. It had a wide ring of seven or more lights, each of them a large and clearly defined sphere, like a bright red cherry, and interspersed with a turquoise and a white light. He was also struck by the fact that the object seemed to make absolutely no sound as it moved.
Creepy.
Mr. Y continued to drive, and the object appeared to fly parallel alongside him. Once outside of St. Helens, the craft dropped back down about 300 yards behind the car and slowly drifted closer to the ground while meandering above the distant hedges. It also appeared smaller, with the number of red lights now reduced to 4, which seemed to slowly rotate. Mr. Y stopped the car again, and this time he used a torch, flashlight for Americans, to attempt to signal to the object for 10 minutes or so, during which time it weaved backwards and forwards without stopping. He then continued on his journey, and when he reached his friend's house, the red lights were still there. This friend even came outside to see the lights for himself, and witnessed the object appearing to play hide-and-seek between the treetops. By the time Mr. Y returned to his car and started driving again, the lights had disappeared. However, on several occasions since this encounter, he had noticed a single ball of red light in the sky, which seemed to either float there unmoving or follow him intently, tracking his every move. As if this wasn't creepy enough, 2 years later in March 1972, Mr. Y had another, far more frightening, experience. It was between 9 and 10 p.m. when he had become stranded on the cliffside at Compton Bay, having been driven there by a bizarre, unexpected tidal surge which occurred while he had been walking along the beach. This surge was seemingly caused, at least in part, by some sort of massive, droning underwater craft, the lights of which Mr. Y could see from his vantage point on the cliffside. He observed 2 points of yellow light, around 40 feet apart, lurking just under the water's surface, which were allegedly peering up at him like the eyes of some horrible sea monster. As the tide gradually retreated, so too did the lights, and Mr. Y was able to get back to his car and drive home. So, influenced by these events, Mr. Y believed his daughter's bizarre claims, and the more details she revealed, the more certain elements of her story rang true to him, and he even began to consider the possibility that her encounter was somehow related to his own experiences. In offering his opinion as to what he thinks occurred, Mr. Y is quoted as saying, "I get the impression that Faye was somehow taken into a bubble of alien reality created by this strange personage," which is supported by the fact that Faye also told him that while they were talking to this ghost, 2 workmen were repairing a nearby post, but these men paid absolutely no attention to either Sam or the children, almost as if they couldn't see them. So, what do you think Sam was? A shared hallucination? An alien? A robot? An eccentric ghost? A mentally ill human in a costume, an interdimensional being, or simply a made-up prank? I highly doubt we'll ever truly know the answer, but even so, the case of Sam the Sundown Clown remains one of the wildest, most bizarre, potentially paranormal reports of all time.
Beautiful. That was awesome.
So what do you think Sam was?
So, I'm still going with, I think he might have just been a very strange person. I don't know. I mean, but the thing with, like, the berry in his hat, in his head, although the berry thing, they could have been poison berries that the kids ate and made them hallucinate.
Maybe.
You know, because...
But they didn't say anything about eating anything weird.
And again, like, all of this is reported by children.
Yeah.
Kids are very inventive. I don't know. I mean, they're very suggestible. So who knows if, like, the father was a bit crazy and was trying to, like, pass off his crazy machinations through his children. Like, come on, tell them, Faye, you saw that the man, he had a berry in his head. And she's like, yes, Dad. Maybe her dad was Sam.
Ooh.
Like in Hide and Seek.
Maybe. Well, I don't know. But I love Sam. I don't want him to be a hoax or a...
I don't want him to be. I don't want him to be, but I don't know.
I'd say he was an alien. Interdimensional being, yes.
I mean...
A really cute one.
He's very sweet. I especially like the very human touch of him having a book and being like, oh, fuck, and then dropped it in the water. Like, but you see, like, again, that's a very human touch. So that sounds more like something a person would do.
Aliens can be clumsy.
I mean, who's to say they're not?
He does only have three fingers on each hand. So.
Yeah, I mean, gripping. I'd probably drop a lot of stuff as well if I were like, oh, fuck. How did he walk? How did he balance himself? That's the question.
Well, he hopped.
Fair.
He did that weird hopping motion.
You see, I'm still thinking Nazi. Like a weird village.
No.
Woodside Nazi. He was doing the goose step.
No.
Could have been.
I disagree.
And he seemed very embarrassed to tell them what he really was. He's like, oh, you know. And he's like, you know that old thing. It's so not me anymore. Like, I mean, you never know. Alien is likely.
But there must have been, like, why did they think he was a ghost so much? That's what I want to know. Like,
I guess because he was invisible, or because, but like that weird alarm noise which they heard. Interesting. I don't know.
That could have been like an amp.
Like, yeah, just him like, hello. Or maybe he was trying to see if anyone could hear him. He's like, maybe if I use this, then they'll hear me.
I don't know. Could have been like interference from his amp that was in his hut.
I do love how, like, the pictures, though, like, it's just him talking into this mic and then all the kids like, oh, covering their ears in horror. It really looks like he's just singing really badly.
Yeah, he looks and initially seems scarier than he actually is.
Again, to me, like, if a kid came and told me all about that, I would definitely think they'd eaten something weird, or their parents were crackheads and they had a little bit of a taste of the sugar that was on the table. You never know. You never know. And again, the fact that the father's also seen some shit really makes me lean more toward, like, him trying to, like, validate his own
maybe
opinions.
The Isle of Wight's just, like, an alien hotspot. Anyone that lives on the Isle of Wight, let us know.
Just, yeah, tell us if you've ever seen Sam the Sandwich Man, Samwise Man.
Sundown Man,
fucking hell. I was like, Sam the Sundown Man, he sounds kind of cool. Sounds kind of groovy, like a DJ, you know? I mean, Sam could also not be an alien, but some sort of... I don't know. I feel like if aliens were to come to Earth, they probably would... Surely they'd do something a bit more meaningful.
With maybe, like, interdimensional being.
Yeah, well, because, I mean, I was thinking of... Remember that story which you told about, like, a time slip where, like, these kids, they saw this town that wasn't really there. Could be something like that, you know? So, like, that kind of sounds a bit more likely. I mean, either way, it's all speculation, but I don't know. I feel like something about Sam feels very human. I don't know. It's very compelling. I've never heard of him before. I'm very sad about that. I am a big fan as well. I'm a big fan of Sam.
Seems
like a sweet dude.
He is, and he's just scared of people living in his little hut.
He does remind me a lot of Pinocchio, and also of the Straw Man, the Scarecrow from Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of like, oh shit, not like, what
particularly
am I doing?
Smart. Just
kind of wanting a bit of peace and quiet.
Yeah. What I want to know is, where did the electricity come from his heater?
Mm.
His electric heater.
Maybe he stole it. I mean, because you've got portable ones, but I guess this was the 70s. Probably didn't have.
Oh, I don't know.
Did they have batteries in the 70s?
Yes, they had batteries in the 70s.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know when they had batteries. So then he could have just nicked it from someone. It could be like a Howl's Moving Castle kind of situation where his house is kind of, you know.
There is Turnip Head from Howl's Moving Castle, who's a bit of a scarecrow.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, yeah, the thing that boing, boing, boing. Yeah. I only watched that for the first time a few months ago.
Did you love it?
I loved it.
I loved it. The book's really cool. The book's good.
I need to read it.
The book, it's like the magical realm that he comes from is actually just Wales. And so like he has to go back for a reason, and Sophie's like, what is this? And it's a car. And she's like, magic.
Oh, no, it's such a good film. I cried.
Oh.
Oh, but you know what else is depressing? That's on or coming soon, rather. So we stumbled across the new Resident Evil trailer, which looks horrifying.
It's so funny. It's awful. I made a joke about it. Jasmine was like, this is horrendous. And I was like, I don't know why everyone's complaining. I thought the new series of Black Mirror looked cool. This is literally what it looked like.
I mean, how hard is it to make a decent TV show adaptation of something with like over 8 games, you know? Like, it's very simple. Just do what they did.
Just do cool zombies. Like,
just do cool zombies.
You don't need all of this other shit.
They're just stupid. I feel like I'm waiting for the day when an actual Resident Evil fan makes a Resident Evil film. Because until then, we're fucked.
Yeah, we are. Yes. So we actually had the idea of maybe... like live streaming us watching it, maybe, or doing
like a Gogglebox kind of thing that could be
fun. When it does eventually come out. So if anyone's interested in that,
we just like to make jokes and yell at the TV.
We do. I'm not sure like legally how it would work. Like,
so like you can't show the whole thing naturally, but we can like show like reactions to like specific bits, so like we can just film the whole thing and then we'll just cut it.
We'll do that then.
And nothing with music, like copyrighted music, like top hits, whatever.
Okay,
it's all good. Yeah. Well, I think we should give it a go and we'll see. And
yeah, I think it'd be cool.
We'll do like an episode by episode kind of thing,
and we will put that on Patreon.
Yes.
Sounds even good. More reasons to join.
Even more. I mean, I honestly think that you having to get a tattoo is the main reason people should join. But I mean, yeah, the content itself is pretty cool too, I guess.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I think that's it from us. Yeah. We've got some people have sent in some really cool stories.
Yeah.
That we're going to read.
Is next week episode 50?
Next week is episode 50.
Oh my goodness.
I know. So we're going to plan something special for that.
Yes.
And we're going to read some really cool listener stories.
Yes, I cannot wait. So excited.
Cannot wait.
I love a good listener stories episode. I've missed those.
Yeah. But for now, we hope that you enjoyed this episode and we hope to have you back for next time. Woo. If you want to get in touch for any reason, just to say hello or to send us a story of your own true paranormal or spooky experience, please email us at spookygirlspodcast@gmail.com. You can also check us out on Twitter @spookygirlspod and on Instagram @spookygirlspodcast. If you want to support us further, then you can become a patron by going to patreon.com/spookygirls. And from as little as $2 a month, you gain access to bonus episodes and other awesome content that we have planned for the future. Thank you all so much, and we'll see you all next time. Stay spooky.
Goodbye. Goodbye.